Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at the place of honor. More distinguished guests than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up higher." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel, Jesus preaches a very memorable parable about what St. Bernard said were the three most important virtues: humility, humility, humility. The absolute essential virtue for us to be able to relate to the Lord appropriately. He'd gone to a dinner with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were observing his every move because they were by this point plotting to kill him. He noticed that though they were outwardly very religious, on the inside they weren't particularly devout despite all their practices of devotion. They were constantly trying to prop themselves up, constantly trying to prove themselves. And with every eye on him, before he had taken his seat, he was going to teach about the humility that would be necessary to receive the gospel of the kingdom, the humility that would be necessary in order to live properly with God and with others. Because we're never going to be able to adequately to love God and love others as we should, unless we're truly humble. Unless we're truly humble and recognize God's extraordinary majesty, we can never appreciate his love for us first and love him adequately back. Unless we're humble, we're really not going to be able to serve with love our neighbor. It's a prayer that the Missionaries of Charity pray every day, that the first time I heard it as a seminarian praying with the Missionaries of Charity in Toronto just kind of bowled me over and distracted me for the entire holy hour I was doing with them, distracted in a holy way. It was that prayer that they say, "Make us worthy to serve the poor." I was looking at their service of so many of the mentally ill in Toronto, so many of the real poor who are on the streets, etc. I was looking at it fundamentally as an act of Christian condescension, of a charity from a higher to a lower. And they, trained by St. Mother Teresa, were looking at it as an inferior serving a master, that they wanted to receive the grace to be worthy to serve the poor. So today, Jesus teaches us something far more than how to sit at banquets, although the advice does work at banquets. What was really interesting for me when I was planning this gala dinner for the Path to Peace Foundation is how many people were really trying to fix their seats so that they could be strategically in the best position. And there was one mistake, huge mistake that was made, in which an ambassador who had generously bought a table but wanted the table to be in somebody else's name in order to be able to give the other person the credit. How in the maneuvering of all the seats, we didn't put the actual ambassador and his wife at that table. And so we were scrambling to put two other people at that table, not thinking that the reason why they had given us eight names was because of their two names at the table. And that night when this generous couple came and they went to Anna, whom you know, my assistant, and just said, what table number are we? She said, I just got to find it. And she comes screaming to me and she just said, big mistake. And so I had to go find at our gala dinner in which the room was packed, two people to be able to move to prevent the catastrophe. It was this young doctor whom I knew when I went on up and I pulled him aside and I said, listen, I hate to be doing this, but I just want to be straightforward. Here's the situation. Could we move you? He said, absolutely, Father. And I can't wait to sit with the Holy See staff. I'll never forget it, actually. That this, he had the humility to be able to respond promptly in a circumstance like that. Because he wasn't a person trying to prop himself up. Humility. How do we grow in humility so that we might be exalted at the Lord's right side forever? So that he might say, Amice, ascende superius. Which is one of the things that we all hope to hear. My friend, come up higher. St. Paul teaches us the principle in today's first reading. He says, for me to live is Christ, and death is gain. For me to live is Christ. That the real secret to the path of humility is to decrease so that Christ fully increases. The more we yoke ourselves to Christ, as the Gospel Alleluia verse gave us, we yoke ourselves to the one from whom we learn humility and meekness. Meekness is extraordinary strength, but it's a strength that doesn't have to show itself. And for us, our Christian meekness comes from our source of strength, who is the Lord. Because when we're personally weak and related to him, it's then we're strong. St. Paul learned this humility from allowing Christ to be magnified in his life. He had a double desire. The first desire was to die so that he could live rejoicing with the Lord. It was a holy eschatological desire that we'll have a chance to ponder a lot throughout the month of November. He was able to say in the words of today's psalm, my soul is thirsting for the living God. That his soul was longing for the living water who is the Lord more than a deer longs for flowing streams. So he had that great desire for the Lord. And that love, of course, for the Lord makes one humbler. At the same time, very humbly, having yoked himself to the Lord, he had a great sense of his Christian duty, of the extraordinary privilege he had to be able to share the faith. So he said, I'm caught between the two. The Greek verb there that's used is to pass through a tight little tunnel. On both sides, don't really know where you go. I'm caught between the two. I long to depart this life and be with Christ, for that's far better. Yet I remain in the flesh for your benefit. And while he was remaining in the flesh, he was suffering very humbly. He was writing this letter with his arms chained to walls in Rome. For me to live is Christ, and death is gain. He's no longer even afraid of death, because death would be that passage to life. So that's what gave him courage in the middle of the world, not to be afraid of anything that could lead to death, but to unite all of those circumstances. The times he was shipwrecked, the times he was beaten with 39 lashes, times he was ambushed along the way, times that he was stoned and left for dead, when he had to walk through malaria-infested swamps, climb up treacherous mountainsides that had been the cemetery of thousands before him. St. Paul was able to go on because he recognized that death would be a passage, it would be a gain. And this is the humility and the strength of the martyrs. We've got a great teacher along this path of humility, and we celebrate her every Saturday, Our Lady. She was the humble maidservant, would say, "Let it be done to me, not according to my will, but according to your holy word." She was the one who, in her Magnificat, her soul magnified the Lord, because it's only a soul that doesn't magnify itself that can truly magnify another or magnify God. She praised the Lord for looking on the humility of his maidservant and choosing her in such a way that all generations, she foresaw right then, would call her blessed. She praised the Lord, who is the one who exalts the humble and casts down the mighty from their thrones, who lifts up the poor and makes the rich go away hungry. Our Lady's secret was that she was a walking commentary on St. Paul's insight. For her, to live was Christ. Her whole life was for him, all dedicated. And for her, she could say with St. Paul, especially after Jesus' ascension, "I long to depart this life and be with Christ." But at the same time, she was able to grow in humility by staying here, in humble service of the early church. "Yet that I remain in the flesh is more necessary for your benefit," she could have easily said, so that she could mother the early church in the way that she was able to mother Jesus according to his humanity. Despite the fact that her soul was thirsting for God humbly, it was likewise thirsting for God's will, which is that she remain and help in that plan of salvation. Today on the Saturday, we can ask her for that gift so that we might be able to live this life aright. Yesterday I had a talk up at Dunwoody Seminary, and in the room where we were talking, there were two shields right up at the front. One was the shield of the Archdiocese of New York. The other was the shield of Dunwoody Seminary. And the motto of Dunwoody Seminary is "Mihi vivere Christo," for me to live is Christ, Christus. To live as Christ. It was the motto of Cardinal Law, who more than any other priest promoted my priestly vocation when I was a teenager and a student at Harvard. For me to live as Christ, the grammar never made sense to me. I wrestled with it. I remember once asking Cardinal Law, "Really, what does this mean?" And he says, "Well, it's the letter to the Philippians." "Yeah, but what does it mean to live as Christ?" And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "One day with that brain God gave you, you'll figure it out." I'm still working at it. But to live as Christ, and this is the path to humility, this is the path to joy, this is the path to courage, this is the path to all the virtues. Today, let's ask Our Lady for those gifts.